You are listening to the U.S. of N.A. by Nation Beer, a series of stories about the people and places from every corner of the country who are helping fuel the N.A. beer movement. If you like this episode, please add us to your library in Apple Podcast, Spotify, or wherever you prefer to listen. For more great N.A. stories, including our many beer reviews, visit nationbeer.com. Are you a non-alcoholic beverage brand looking for help with growth? Then go to nation.beer to learn more about our digital marketing services. Thanks for joining us this week. I'm John Eggleton, Chief Hoptimist at Nation Beer. This is a new episode format we're going to use from time to time where we'll talk NA with a host of different voices. First up is our friend Miles Faulkner of The Modern Substitute. He's based in Portland, and there were a couple of new NA beer launches in the Pacific Northwest recently. So started our conversation there before moving on to some other topics. And also just a reminder that if you like what you're listening to, please consider subscribing as well as leaving us a review. And if you have any feedback or thoughts on what you'd like to hear in a future episode, please do send us a message at nationbeer.com/contact. Okay, on to the show. All right. Our guest today is Miles Faulkner. He's the chief scribbler of The Modern Substitute, a weekly newsletter helping people find the best NA beer, wine, and cocktails. We've been excited to have him on. Make sure you check out his newsletter and subscribe if you haven't already at themodernsubstitute.com. Miles, thanks for being here today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so first things first, we started a little tradition here to crack open an NA beer with our guests at the top of the show. So on my end here, I've got a Sunshine State IPA, Tropical IPA from Go Brewing, one of my current faves. And Miles, what are you drinking over there?
Well, I was lucky enough to track down one of the few cans of Silver Linings IPA from Heck Brewing, and I'm excited to try it.
All right, well, let's go ahead and crack these open. Cheers.
That is lovely. Cheers.
Very excellent. Nice. Well, and very, very topical that you're drinking a Heck beer, since I know we want to get into talking about some new releases there in the Pacific Northwest. But I thought we'd start out with just talking about the area in general. New York and some of the other parts of the country, I think, are getting a lot of attention for NA, and certainly rightfully so. There's a lot of hotbeds and really interesting brands that have come about. Upper Midwest, you've got ABV Technology, which is really, you know, as we got into on our last episode with Tyler McMahon, has really enabled a lot of the smaller breweries to get going there. But the Pacific Northwest has a lot of things going on in the NA scene, and it seems like more and more is coming around. So Miles, I'd love to hear your take since you're a local there in the Portland area.
We're super lucky here, in fact. We pretty much, if there was nothing else in the world coming our way, we would be pretty much sorted. We have, at least in Oregon, 5 breweries, 3 in Bend, Crux, Deschutes, obviously, which everybody knows. And I still count 10 Barrel, even though they got bought out by Budweiser. They're still one of our own. So they have an NA IPA. In Portland, we have Roaming Nobles, which was started back in 2021 by Marla and Liam Hoban. And they've got 3 beers out, a Pils, a Tropical Pils, and an IPA. And they are all excellent. They have a very sort of Bavarian take on their brewing methods. And then the one I just opened, which is Heck, which we've been kind of anticipating for the last year and looking forward to. So they have another beer coming out, I believe, this month or maybe next, which is a golden. But this IPA is delicious. It's the first sip I've had, and it was very nice. And then on the cocktail side of things, we've got a company called For Bitter For Worse, which is, I think, nationally distributed and most people know about them. They have 4 different drinks, which are all really fabulous, made out of all kinds of crazy plant concoctions, and they're absolutely lovely. And then you go up to Washington, we have, oh, and actually one more I forgot in Oregon is Two Town Cider House. They have a phenomenal cider called Cosmic Crisp. And then another one, Pacific Pineapple Crisp, I believe it is. I'm not so into the pineapple, but the Cosmic Crisp is fantastic. And then up in Seattle, the absolute god of spirits, the Pathfinder, that's where that comes from. And Joyous Winery as well, that put out a number of different wines, which are fantastic. And I'm sure I've forgotten other people, and I apologize if I have. But that's, as I say, we've got pretty much everything we need up here.
For sure. Well, that's definitely quite a lineup, especially if you think across the spirits category beyond the beer side. But my understanding is Heck, did they sell out the first batch maybe a little sooner than they were expecting?
Yeah, I think they weren't anticipating. I mean, I'm sure they were. There was definitely quite a lot of build up for the release, but yeah, they probably didn't think it was going to go quite so quickly. I'm actually really surprised I picked one up. There was like 1 6 pack left in my favorite bottle shop, and I was just like, whoosh, grabbed it. So, but they're supposed to be. I think their next batch is coming out pretty soon. I think in a couple of weeks they've got some tasting scheduled. And then, yeah, pretty quickly they're following up with this golden. So it'd be exciting to have that too.
Well, that's, you know, maybe a good, bad problem to have when you sell out your first batch quickly. It builds a little bit of suspense, maybe a little bit of demand. So that certainly doesn't hurt from a brand perspective. So kudos to them, whether they did that on purpose or not. It seems like it worked out pretty well and they're back in stock, which is good to hear. Let's talk a little bit about Deschutes. Obviously a huge name in the craft beer scene, have been for years. They've been in the NA game here for a little while with their dark beer. And a lot of us are excited, of course, about this fresh squeezed IPA NA coming out, which they've announced is going to be a national rollout. So you think about some of the recent rollouts from some of the other larger breweries. I think about Sierra Nevada and the Trail Pass series, I think, toward the tail end of 2023. What are your thoughts on Deschutes? Is that maybe going to be, do we think that might follow a similar path to Sierra Nevada in terms of getting pretty wide distribution? It's a very, you know, very well-known brewery and very well-respected craft brewery.
Yeah, I was lucky enough and slightly dorky enough to actually be down at the brewery the day it was released. It was, I don't know that I would have necessarily gone if my wife didn't have a work function down there, but as soon as I knew that she did, I jumped in the car with her. And yeah, I was lucky enough to have, I think, one of the first beers. I'm telling myself that, if nothing else. sure. And it was absolutely fantastic. I think it's a bit of a game changer, to be honest with you. I think it's going to, I mean, the Black Butte, you know, their stout that they put out, is really fantastic too when you compare it to the original, and definitely garners a lot of praise. I obviously the market for darker beers isn't as great as IPAs and lagers and, you know, the lighter beers, as it were. So I really think this will be a game changer for them. And they've obviously, I mean, they've been fairly open that they spent 5 years working on this and invested about $5 million in technology. So they're here to stay as far as I'm concerned. And I would imagine they will go through their other, you know, their pale ale, et cetera, and do their other beers as well. But yeah, I'm excited for them. I really am. It's fantastic beer. I brought back a couple of six packs from the brewery to a couple of folks in Portland, and they were equally excited about it.
It's nice to see NA versions of very popular beers coming out. We're seeing that as, I think, an interesting trend with a lot of these breweries. We're going to talk about another one of those a little later on in the episode, but that's always good to see. And I think people seeing that who may not be as familiar with the category, I think it has a lot of meaning in terms of just exposing NA to a wider audience. So we'll see how that plays out.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think that's one of the, there's such a place for those type of beers. Like, you know, like you could say Guinness Zero and Stella Artois Liberté, all of those that kind of help people make the move over to drinking non-alcoholic drinks, because they're so well made and so similar to the originals. It's not like you're starting completely from scratch, and which we've kind of all done, but not everybody does that. You know, that it's a really great way to sort of shift people over into integrating non-alcoholic beers into their general drinking habits, or if they're completely stopped like I did, you know, having those to kind of fall back on are fantastic. And kudos to the breweries that get it right. They don't all get it right, but a lot of them have.
So we'll move out of the Pacific Northwest and I guess go a little bit north, talk about some news that Partake Brewing made with a new style. They've recently released their Pilsner. And it got us to thinking what the NA scene looks like around Pilsner. It's obviously a hugely popular style, especially globally. Think about in Europe and Germany, all the great German-style Pilsners out there. We had Jonathan Zimmerman on as our guest in the first episode of this podcast, and he talked about the fact that he decided to launch a Pilsner in part because he just felt like there wasn't a good NA Pilsner out there in the marketplace. Certainly, you know, that was a few years ago. There's been a lot of new offerings coming in, but I don't know. Is it still maybe a little bit of an underrepresented, at least in the U.S. market? I don't think that's the case over in Europe and Germany. Is it maybe a little bit underrepresented here in the U.S.?
I think definitely. I mean, I recently wrote about Southern Grist Brewing Company's company pills, which I think is fantastic. But unfortunately, it sounds like they're putting pause on making that for the foreseeable future. You know, I spoke to, I mentioned her earlier, Marla Hoban from Roaming Nobles. And when I sat down for coffee with her late last year, she was telling me about process of, like, you know, the recipes they were coming up with various beers. And they decided to make a pills right from the off. And she'd said that during the process of that, some brewing friends that had been in the business for years and years had said, why are you starting with the hardest beer as opposed to just going straight to an IPA or something that's a little easier? I don't remember why she said it was the hardest beer to make, unfortunately. So we'll leave that to the folks, you know, folks like Tyler to explain it. But it makes me wonder whether Ted Fleming over at Partake kind of faced similar issues in terms of, like, was that just a harder beer to make compared to other ones along in his line? He's a tough old cookie, so I'd be very surprised if that was a hurdle for him. But it does possibly explain why it's been this long since, you know, they've put one out. But yeah, there aren't an awful lot, are they? There's a lot of focus on IPAs, obviously, you know, and then lagers, really light, much lighter beers. But good pills, there doesn't seem to be many. Which is weird when you consider, as you say, Germany that has so many. Every brewery has an NA pills, you know. So,
well, it may make some sense if it's a difficult style to brew. Then it might be one reason why some have avoided it, and maybe because there are a lot of good NAs that are from Germany that are easily available here. We see them a lot. I see them a lot here in restaurants, places where we go out. There's, I think, Einbeckers. Good to see some new ones coming on the market that are North America based, and we'll see if some more are going to join the party. So moving on, I guess going across the continent, now we'll go to talk about Kitna a little bit. They're based in the beer hotbed of Portland, Maine. It's a great beer town for anybody who's not been there before. They recently announced that their new wheat is going to replace their IPA in the portfolio. So if you know the brand at all, they have On Your Mark, Get Set, Here We Go is sort of the three beers in the portfolio. So their wheat beer is replacing one of their IPAs as the Get Set version. So we've not tried one of those yet, but we're looking forward to that. Along with that announcement, or I guess it was a separate announcement that came out shortly thereafter, is they're really expanding their footprint here on the East Coast, adding, I think, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, the DC Metro, Virginia, and here in Georgia, where we're based, which I think is interesting. There's not a lot of breweries outside of the ones that are national, your Athletics, your, you know, Partake, which has obviously good distribution through Total Wine and others with Bravis and a few others. So we really don't have a lot of the NA craft beer companies here yet. So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, where they show up, what that looks like, what the shelf space situation looks like. There's only so much to be had in the NA space, but certainly making some moves, it appears. And, you know, we'll see where that plays out. I know being on the Northwest side there, Miles, you're not as familiar with Kitna. It's always interesting to see with these breweries and some of the moves that they're making to expand and obviously take advantage of a growing market.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I am very aware of Kitna, but have not tried their beer. They hasn't made it yet to Portland. Although I might bug my local bottle shop, who are fantastic about getting stuff from across the country. And so, yeah, I'll try and get them to bring some in. But I think it's so good for the country. I mean, it's great that all of these different areas across the country, you know, that they are all. There are all these breweries that are having success and they're able to get their products out to a greater audience. It can only be good for us, you know, like having a shelf full of beers that aren't all from, like, you know, the big companies, although I respect and thank them for what they're doing. We all want the local craft brews, and we're all, you know, especially if you're really into this, you want to try all of them. I can't wait to try Kitna and all of those New York beers and the Minnesota beers and et cetera. But yeah, it's getting a hold of them. And I think it was interesting listening to your interview with the chap from, I think it was from Burial, who was basically just saying, like, that he didn't really have any interest in becoming huge and you know, and getting a huge distribution channels across the country. For him, it was local, you know, or at least regional, and that was good enough for him. And that's great too. The more the merrier. You know, that's why Tyler's map's so fantastic, is you can just go check out these smaller breweries that sort of serve all these different communities. And if you're traveling through, you get to enjoy them. But good for Kitner. I can't wait to try it.
You're right. I mean, it is exciting to see a lot of new breweries, and not just the expansion side for the ones we already have, but just seeing expansion in general. I'm thinking that Tyler is going to be pretty busy with that map for some time to come, making some additions to that. They're going to be coming even more fast and furious. At least I hope so. Yeah, here in the Southeast, there really aren't a lot of NA-only breweries that are distributed here through actual Georgia distribution. It's not through something like Air Goods, which, if you're not familiar, that's a wholesale marketplace. A lot of the NA bottle shops are able to leverage that to bring things in, as I think you had mentioned, Miles. And so, you know, one of many reasons why to support your local alcohol-free bottle shop is they can get things that you're just not going to find anywhere else. But yeah, we'll see with Kitna's expansion. I'll be interested to see where they show up here. I know Atmosphere Brewery also has distribution here in the Georgia market as well. Yeah. So shifting gears here a little bit, let's talk about what we're drinking lately. And I'll go ahead and start, since I know this is a beer that both of us have become pretty big fans of. And, you know, first I do have a confession to make that I'm really not a big dark beer fan. I know for someone who's as excited about beer and NA beer as I may seem to be, to not be a huge fan of a major style of beer may seem kind of strange. I've just not found a ton that I liked. I've never really been a huge dark beer fan. I think I recently posted this on the site. We did a review of Alesmith Speedway Coffee Stout, which is a brewery out of San Diego. And as I mentioned earlier, this is another one that's there's an original and full alcohol version, which I believe is a imperial, if I'm not mistaken, close to 9-10% alcohol, something like that. And the NA version that I had was just fantastic. Very full bodied. You can definitely get the coffee flavors. You know, whether that's good or bad for you, I guess that's up for the consumer to decide. But in our case, we thought it was great. You know, it was a beer that you could have maybe to end the night after dinner, or as kind of a dessert type drink. And it is an NA, so if you want to have it in the morning as your coffee replacement, if that's what you're into, if that's your jam, I think it would work just fine there as well. That's what we're drinking. We're huge fans. And Miles, I know that beer has made a similar impression on you from what we were talking about before the show.
Yeah, I've reviewed probably about 7 dark brews, dark ales over the course of the last sort of 10 weeks on the newsletter. And I tend not to have favorites, but I'll break ranks and say that is without question my favorite that I've had. And there's some great ones in there. I mean, Untitled Art, I've got some great ones. That Schmoor's Dark Brew, which I had not been expecting to love as much as I did, was a close second. No, the Speedway is on its own. I'm actually going down to San Diego in June, and I'm hoping they've got it on tap down there, and I can't wait to gush to whoever will listen about how much I love that beer. It is fantastic.
No, well, you have to let us know if you find it on tap. I hope that's something they are offering down there. Well, last question I've got for you, Miles, before I let you go is, I'll apologize in advance. I know our listeners are here to hear about NA and talk about beer. I know both you and I are fans of The Beautiful Game, which I know is known globally as football, and here in the States referred to as soccer. I know you're not a fan of that word. But as I was thinking about it, there's a lot of parallels, I think, between soccer/football and the NA scene here in the U.S., I guess if you want to, you know, look at the U.S. market specifically, meaning that soccer is something that's been an ascendant sport here for some time. It's maybe on a little bit of a longer curve than NA, which has really taken off positively over the last couple of years. But there are some parallels, I think, between those two. And I know you're a big fan of the game, both Portland Timbers there in MLS, but even bigger, your teams across the pond. So what are your thoughts on that? Am I off on that?
No, I think there are some similarities for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I am a Portland Timbers season ticket holder and have been since the start. My true love, to be honest with you, is Watford Football Club back in England. They play in the Championship and flirt with a few years of Premiership disastrous seasons. One or two good ones, but usually it's a bit rubbish. So we usually fall back to where we should do, which is the Championship. Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting watching the MLS grow from, I mean, I'm 56 and started going when I was five. So I've been a football fan for 50 odd years. And I was at the Dallas Burn, because I was living in Texas at the time, on the very first game of the inaugural season, whenever that was, 96 or 95 or whatever. And, you know, there was probably 3,000 people there. Maybe there was more, but it didn't seem like it, in this massive stadium. And I've just seen it grow from there. And I think it's fantastic. It's an interesting... The difference for me coming from England is really... the away fans and the lack thereof. It is a different game without that. And obviously with the size of the country, it's just, you know, you might get lucky with a couple of teams that are close to you, like we are with Vancouver and Seattle. I'm not sure who's close to you. Maybe North Carolina, Charlotte, is that?
Yeah, Charlotte and Nashville are kind of our two closest, right?
There you go. So it's something that I feel like is missing a little bit, but the game has just exploded over here. And, you know, with the World Cup coming, you know, it'll just take it to another level. I mean, trying to get tickets for that is just going to be an absolute joke. But in terms of the parallel with NA, I think it's, yeah, it is, there is similarities. It's been quite interesting for me being English and, 2 years into not drinking and doing this. I've only been doing the newsletter for 8 months, but, you know, foraging for non-alcoholic drinks, as it were, and then going home and seeing how different it is. And it was kind of unexpected, because I just wasn't aware of it when I was drinking. Yeah, I mean, there's statistics out there, you know, from the British Brewers Association that 80% of pubs sell non-alcoholic drinks. And certainly when I go back, you know, my local pub near where my dad lives has, you know, three or four different beers and, you know, a couple of different spirits. And it's really, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's just so far ahead from where we are over here. And it will change for sure. But, you know, I do wonder whether, as much as I really love Athletic and Heineken and folks like that who have paved the way for so many other non-alcoholic drink and beverage companies, I wonder whether there's a little bit of laziness in the kind of bar and restaurant world, where it's just easy to stop one of those beers. I kind of often make the analogy of just like, it's like if you went into a bar and there was only one drink to buy and drink, would you be that excited about the bar? Probably not, you know. So I'm glad that people are bringing them in, but they need to do more.
Well, and it's interesting too. I mean, most of the bars, or a lot of the bars that we see, they'll stock something like Heineken 00. And I think Tyler and I got into this a little bit in the last episode. You'll see your Heineken 00, you'll see, you know, the big national brands, and you'll see Athletic. And, you know, it's great to see them there. It's great that they're kind of paving the way and hopefully introducing consumers to the product. But I do hope to see some more choice. And I think especially as the local scene really takes off, that we'll be able to see more of that. And you're right. I mean, we're certainly behind Europe. You know, whether we get to that point in terms of the kind of numbers that, you know, you see in England or in Germany or in other countries over there, who knows? Certainly we're heading in the right direction, and see how it all plays out.
Yeah, 100%. I do have a quick question for you, actually. Does the stadium at Atlanta, do they serve non-alcoholic beer?
They do, in fact. So what's a little bit sad is a few years ago, they did serve Right Side Brewing, which is our local, it's our only Georgia-made NA, it's the only Georgia NA-only brewery, I should say. They no longer carry Right Side. I think that was something that happened in the last contract when Heineken got the contract. But the exciting news is, in the last, just for this season, I have now seen Athletic served in quite a few of the different stations, obviously in a can, not on draft. They have two or three, I think they have both of the IPAs and the Golden, I believe, is what I've seen. So it's a start. I don't think they had Athletic last season. So last year it was just Heineken Zero, which was maybe at, you know, a handful of the concessions in the stadium.
Yeah, that's good. We have enough. It took a year of me and a handful of others nagging the Portland Timbers to get to Athletic, and even like sending them maps of where all the Athletic locations around the stadium were. There was like 20 different bars and restaurants that had it, and I was like, but you don't have it, you know. And there was even a situation where they were advertising Heineken Zero but didn't actually sell it. So, but anyway, progress
comes slow sometimes, and then it moves a little bit faster. Well, listen, Miles, this has been a lot of fun. We really appreciate you you taking some time with us, and not just talking about the Pacific Northwest, where I know you're based, but just the NA scene in general. And hopefully we'll have more of these kind of updates where there's just a lot of things going on to be able to talk about. But really appreciate you taking the time. Can't wait to see where things go with the newsletter. It's definitely a must read on our list. So keep doing what you're doing. Yeah, we're excited to see where this all goes.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure. It's been fun. Thanks, John.